That was music from Paraguay. World Roots was presented by Lucy Duran and produced by James Parkin. And next week, at the same time, you can hear music recorded on location in Bolivia.
It was written and left unfinished in one of the darkest periods of the composer's life. Yet years later, working for the BBC's celebrations of the Gustav Mahler centenary, the British musicologist Derek Cook brought it back to life. Now, with the help of three more passionate Mahlerians over the years, we have salvaged one of the most moving masterpieces of 20th century art. Radio 3 live in concert with Mahler's 10th Symphony. Thursday night, live on BBC Radio 3 at 7:30.
Well, this is BBC Radio 3. We're broadcasting between 90 and 93 FM on digital radio and in high-definition sound online. It's 11 o'clock, time for Jazz Lineup, which is presented this week by Julian Joseph.
Ellington classic just to tease you, and it's topical, as saxophonist Mark Lockhart uses the Duke's music as the inspiration for his new project. Stay tuned for an interview with Mark as he talks about reimagining Satin Doll and other classics on his new album. Also on the programme, part two of a concert set by Marius Nicette, recorded at this year's Jazz on a Winter's Weekend in Southport. First up, though, another project celebrating the genius of Duke Ellington. Tommy Smith and the Scottish National Jazz Orchestra put together an ambitious programme covering some of the huge breadth that is Ellingtonia. Centred around the piano of Brian Kellock, alto of Rue Patterson, here is the band's theme tune Before A-Train Took Over. And listen out for Bill Fleming on the baritone. Michael Owers is on trombone, Tom McNiven on trumpet, and the bass of Callum Gawley. This is their version of Sepia Panorama. Sepia Panorama, played with passion by the Scottish National Jazz Orchestra, featuring the bass of Callum Gawley in the Jimmy Blanton role. Out on Tommy Smith's Spartacus label, In the Spirit of Duke is precisely that, with Smith and the band taking great care, attention to detail, love and respect over the treasured works of Ellington and Strayhorn, for an album that reflects their glory whilst demonstrating what an elite jazz orchestra sounds like. Well, from the sounds of a rousing big band to the gentle duet in the hands of tenor great Charles Lloyd and pianist Jason Moran. Since the 1960s, Charles Lloyd has been responsible for bringing together some of the most celebrated bands in jazz with a highly lauded roster of pianists. From Keith Jarrett, Bobo Stenson, Michel Petrucciani and Brad Meldow to the present incumbent Jason Moran. On Hagar's Song, the two musicians are natural in duet, able to shine in their creative ability to complement one another. On All About Ronnie, they achieve a meditative connection that is at the forefront of Lloyd's music.
Thank you.
All About Ronnie from master saxophonist Charles Lloyd in duet with pianist Jason Moran. The album is called Hagar's Song and released on the ECM label and is an inventive mix of beautiful ballads, blues and free improvisation played with beauty, tenderness, surprises and ultimate communication. And you can catch Charles Lloyd's quartet at the Barbican on the 28th of April in celebration of his 75th birthday. Moran will be on piano, Reuben Rogers on bass and Gregory Hutchinson on the drums. And joining them will be Greek vocalist Maria Faranduri. I'm Julian Joseph, and this is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3, on 90 to 93 FM, online and on digital radio. And remember, you can catch us on the BBC iPlayer for the next 7 days. The Legend of Mike Smith is the title of Soweto Kinch's new album and conveys the story of ambitious rapper Mike Smith and the seven deadly sin-related challenges he faces on his journey to success. Soweto's music is always full of variety and engages his gift for storytelling through his subject matter and the expressive and expansive way in which he approaches his saxophone. The following track sees Soweto employ the talents of Shabaka Hutchings on tenor saxophone in the execution of an intricate and interweaving melody line, and also takes the first solo. The piece is called The Healing and shows Soweto's band to great effect, in particular drummer Graham Godfrey, The Healing. Thank you. Alto saxophonist Soweto Kinch and The Healing from his new album, The Legend of Mike Smith. Chewbacca Hutchings, who many of you will recognize from numerous projects, including his own band Sons of Kemet, played the tenor saxophone. Carl Rashid Abel played the bass and Graham Godfrey drums. The album is out now on the Soweto Kinch label. From one concept album to another of sorts, where Norma Winston joins forces with legendary trumpeter and composer Kenny Wheeler and the London Vocal Project for a recording called Mirrors. The choir is directed by Pete Churchill, who helps guide the sound and direction of the album by stylishly combining the glory of a warm-sounding vocal group with a confident rhythm section led by pianist Nicky Iles. Drummer James Madron captures an effortless flow in his underpinning of the rhythm, especially on this charming Wheeler composition, full of attractive melodic turns for the vocalist. Listen out for the tenor sax interjections from our upcoming guest Mark Lockhart. This is Humpty Dumpty.
Spring when blue.
Norma Winston's voice augmented by Pete Churchill's London Vocal Project on a piece written by Kenny Wheeler with words by author Lewis Carroll called Humpty Dumpty. The album is called Mirrors and is an engaging listen with all the music by Kenny Wheeler, who does make some tasteful flugelhorn appearances. Mirrors is out now on the Edition record label, and that track also features our studio guest today, coming up later on the show, saxophonist Mark Lockhart. And for all you fans of the great Kenny Wheeler's trumpet playing and writing, the Royal Academy of Music in London are having an exhibition in his honour, charting his work over a career spanning 7 decades. For more information, check out the Jazz Lineup website, and there'll be a full preview of that exhibition over the coming weeks on the show. I'm Julian Joseph, and this is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3, on 90 to 93 FM, online and on digital radio. And remember, you can catch us on the BBC iPlayer for the next 7 days. At the top of the show, we heard a teaser from the maestro Duke Ellington. Then we heard from our special guest on saxophone with Norma Winston. And as they formed the seed of a stunning new album, they are very relevant to our next segment. Over the last 30 years, Mark Lockhart has been one of Britain's star saxophonists and creative forces, taking his music into both traditional and unconventional treatments, and his latest project ticks both these boxes. It features his 7-piece band in the reimagining of some of the most well-known pieces of music in the jazz canon. Before we speak with him, this is Jungle Lady from the new album.
Thank you.
Mark Lockhart and Jungle Lady from his new album, Ellington in Anticipation. Welcome, Mark.
Hi, nice to be here.
It's great to have you here. Now, Jungle Lady, Duke Ellington, what's going on there? And why did you call it Jungle Lady?
Originally, I was playing around with Satin Doll and started to look at the melody. I mean, it's always a melody that I've been aware of, but never really played, actually, or certainly done an arrangement of. So I kind of started to muck about with that and ended up with a piece that had quotes and little bits of Satin Doll in it. Played it to someone thinking, oh, this is my version of Satin Doll. I actually played it to Norma Winston, actually. And she said, I didn't recognise that as Satin Doll. So I thought, well, I better call it something else then. So it's called Jungle Lady, but it's based on Satin Doll.
And why Jungle Lady? Because I guess Satin Doll implies a certain kind of woman. And I guess, were you trying to keep the same a sort of theme with describing a woman?
Yeah, although she's a kind of woman who's a little bit more earthy and African-y, I suppose. Hence the drum introduction that Seb does on the tom-toms. And that jungle element, I've always really liked that about Ellington, going right back to the 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
That rawness that he had when he played in clubs, dance clubs. I've always loved that, and I wanted that element, that kind of groove element in this project, if you like.
Well, it's great because it's put a positive spin on what they used to call jungle music back in those days. And I don't know whether that was particularly complimentary or derogatory, but it was certainly a product of the times and conjured, I guess, whatever you can imagine in the minds of the audiences, because I guess in the 20s when he was playing at the Cotton Club, it was where black performers performed to only white audiences.
That's right,
which
And the thing that music had was an incredible energy that I've always loved in jazz. That's the thing that I've always latched onto in jazz, whether it's John Coltrane or Mel Torme. You know, it doesn't really matter about colour. It's about the rhythm, really, of it all, you know.
How did you put the band together? Because you've got some great players, Liam Noble on piano, Finn Peters on alto sax, James Alsop on the clarinets. Emma Smith, she's usually the vocalist, isn't she?
This is a different Emma Smith.
Oh, it's a different one.
This is a classically trained, stunning contemporary violinist, Emma Smith.
Yeah. Well, it's lovely to establish that.
Yes.
Emma,
yes.
You are your own person.
Yes.
And you mentioned Seb Rochford on the drums. Tom Herbert plays the bass. And these are people you work with regularly.
Yeah, over the years. I mean, obviously, Seb and Tom I've worked with for about 10 years in Polar Bear, so I know they're playing really well. And I wanted, I mean, again, going back to the energy thing and the kind of groove and the lock-up with bass and drums, I wanted something quite particular, you know, and I wanted the kind of weight that Seb and Tom have when they play together. And so I kind of asked them whether... I mean, we've had discussions about Ellington, so I've always known that they've loved Ellington's music. And so I asked them, and they said, yeah, great, let's do it, let's do this thing.
What do you think is particular about Ellington's music that draws you in? For the non-initiated, how would you describe Ellington to get them perhaps into Ellington?
It's an interesting one. I mean, it took me a while to get into Ellington. I was into Count Basie and Dave Brubeck before I got into Ellington. And I think it was the thing that it sounded a little bit messy compared to Count Basie, you know. But very soon I latched on to his kind of concept of featuring different people and being able to hear their sounds in the section. So, you know, for instance, the saxophone section, for me, I can hear distinctly everyone in it. I can hear Gonzalez sticking out, Johnny Hodges sticking out, Harry Carney really sticking out. And I've always loved that character that he had. And it was the same with every section. It was the same with the trumpet section and the trombone section, you know. And so I think for me as a musician, I loved that, you know, as soon as I understood that he was writing for individuals rather than generic musicians, I was captivated with it, you know.
Well, the next piece we're going to listen to is My Caravan. This one is another one you completely deconstructed.
Mm.
Tell us what we should be listening for when we listen to this.
Well, I've always been intrigued by this, and when I started from a bass riff, and the atmosphere that I seemed to come up with was like a kind of Bedouin, kind of Persian kind of caravan going across the desert, you know. So I kind of wanted that and latched onto that.
Right.
And so that's why the kind of sounds and things, and the drums again, really important, a kind of drum, kind of distant hand drum thing, you know. And then it kind of evolves. And actually the reason why it's called My Caravan is because the tune doesn't appear until the very, very end.
That's right.
And then it's slightly altered anyway. So it's a quote.
Yeah.
So...
But what is interesting about this particular piece, Your Caravan, My Caravan, is that you do retain the spirit of a caravan. Like, I remember going and seeing Wynton Marsalis playing Caravan with the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra and telling and describing a story, much in the way Duke would, about a distant caravan off in the, you know, and that as it got closer, you could hear the sounds. And if there was one thing for sure, you knew what was happening. It was swinging.
Mm.
And when I listen to your version, I hear that spirit of a caravan. I can see it in the distance and coming closer, and you know, then it just sort of engulfs you and captivates you.
Yeah, that's nice.
So let's have a listen. This is My Caravan. Thank you. My Caravan from saxophonist Mark Lockhart from his new album Ellington in Anticipation. It's a really enjoyable listen, I have to say, and it's got great twists and turns. It's a joy for the ear. And I was just thinking, where is it leading you to? What future projects are you thinking of doing, and what are you working on at the moment?
Well, as you know, we're touring this.
Yep.
And then we've got quite a few gigs around the country for the rest of the year with this. Mm-hmm. There's new music for this. There's already three tunes that aren't on the record that I've arranged.
So do you see this as an ongoing project that you're going to add material into?
I think so. I'd like to do another recording at some point of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's all going to change. As soon as you start touring, as you know, the music opens up and it all moves up a couple of levels.
Yeah.
Well, quite often it moves up a couple of levels. So I'm looking forward to that happening, and then I'm going to be thinking, oh, it'd be nice to record it. So, you know, so in terms of this project, yeah, I can see it going ahead.
It's got legs.
Yeah. I mean,
and also it can transmute into other artists such as Mingus or whomever you're interested in, you know, if there's other people from anywhere, really.
Yeah, I have to be careful that I don't get known for deconstructing everyone's music for them.
I don't think it's such a bad thing, because eventually you'll deconstruct so much that nobody can tell where it comes from in the first place.
You're back to where you started from. You know? In a funny
and
kind
it's
of
like,
way.
Wow, you're so original. How do you do it? And it's like, I don't know. It just, you know, it just comes to me.
Yes. Brilliant.
Well, we're going to go out on the opening track of the album, which is It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing, and sets up the whole premise that the tune in the original is merely a starting point from which to create a compositional journey in a different yet related way. Mark, can you just take us through that?
Well, I was a bit nervous about doing this one because of the title,
right?
You know, and I can imagine a few jazz fans going, well, it's all very well, but it doesn't swing. So I thought, well, it will swing, but it will swing in 3/4.
Right. So that's the first big change.
So it swings and it's in 3/4, and there's lots of other bits. And it goes on a bit of a journey and then returns back to the original theme after some solos.
Right.
Not based on the chord sequence, but based on things that come from the chord sequence or come from the mood of the melody.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not ahead and then blowing and then ahead. I don't think any of the tunes are really like that.
No.
So be warned if you go and buy it.
It's an interweaving journey.
Yes, that's a very much nice way of putting it, Julian, interweaving journey.
Well, this is It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing. Thank you so much, Mark Lockhart, for coming in to share your thoughts and processes in creating Ellington in Anticipation.
Thank you.
It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing, Mark Lockhart, from the new album Ellington in Anticipation, out now on the Subtone label. And playing with Mark Lockhart were Liam Noble on piano, Finn Peters on alto saxophone, James Alsop on clarinets, Emma Smith playing violin, Seb Roachwood was on drums, and Tom Herbert was playing the bass. And if you want to see the band Ellington in Anticipation, led by Mark Lockhart, you can catch them in Belfast on the 21st of March at the MAC, which is a new art centre. On the 22nd, they're at the Hidden Room in Cambridge. On the 23rd, they're at King's Place in London, and they'll be having their album launch there at the same time. So get along and hear Ellington in Anticipation. I'm Julian Joseph, and this is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3, on 90 to 93 FM, online and on digital radio. And remember, you can catch us on the BBC iPlayer for the next 7 days. Norwegian saxophonist Marius Neset's 2013 release is called Birds, and features vibraphonist Jim Hart with the Phrenesis Trio as his rhythm section. His debut, Golden Explosion, in 2011, revealed a musician of great rhythmic ideas centered around the compound lines he generates on his tenor saxophone. His Nordic background, combined with the unconscious rhythmic innovations of the Steves, I mean Coleman and Williamson, added to the prominent sound of Messrs. Garbarek and Brekker, make for a satisfying blend and is the springboard to a unique sound of his own. Compositionally, there are even more influences and an intelligent and energetic identity emerging, producing successful results. Whilst Marius and the band were on tour, we at Jazz Lineup were delighted to record them at Southport's Jazz on a winter's weekend. The quartet played the Balmoral Suite at the Royal Clifton Hotel, and we bring you highlights from the second half of their concert. Marius Neset is on saxophones, Anton Eiger on drums, Ivo Niem on piano, and Jasper Hoiby on the bass. They start off this set with the now familiar sound of Neset's lone tenor setting the pace, and this is Boxing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The Marius Nicette Quartet, they started their set with Boxing, then they played the real YSJ, and finished off with Angel of the North. Highlights from the second set of Marius Nicette's concert recorded at Southport's Jazz on a Winter's Weekend in the Balmoral Suite of the Royal Clifton Hotel on February the 2nd, 2013. Marius Nicette played tenor and soprano saxophones, Ivo Neem played the piano, Jasper Hoiby double bass, and Anton Eiger the drums. For more information and details of all the tracks played tonight, check out the playlist via the Radio 3 website. Well, from one of Europe's most contemporary bands to a slightly different USA expression. They're called The Next Collective and have a new take on developing contemporary fusion. Whilst all coming from jazz backgrounds, they're committed to finding a new space that fuses all that is current in pop, rock and R&B with a decided jazz blood flow. The members of The Next Collective are Logan Richardson on saxophone, Walter Smith III on saxophone, Matthew Stevens on guitar, Gerald Clayton on keyboards, Chris Bowers is on keyboards, Ben Williams is on bass, and Jameer Williams is on drums. And as a guest on some tracks, Christian Scott plays the trumpet. This is a path that Christian Scott has been forging over the last decade, and this collective includes members past and present from his own organization. The music is attractive and definitely resonates with a contemporary sensibility. This is their take on a piece by indie group Little Dragon called Twice. The Next Collective, and Twice from the album cover art, out now on the Decca label. Well, that's almost the end of this week's show, but remember, plenty more jazz tomorrow night at 11 on Jazz on 3 with Jez Nelson. He's got performances by French bassist Henri Texier and his trio, and free improvising duo Trevor Watts and Varian Weston. And on next week's jazz lineup, I interview Cuban trumpet maestro Arturo Sandoval about his new album called Dear Diz, which is dedicated to mentor and inspiration Dizzy Gillespie. We also feature a concert from Phil Robson's Immeasurable Code, so join us next week. To finish with tonight, something new from bassist Kyle Eastwood. The album is called The View From Here, and this is From Rio to Havana. From me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye.
Hello and welcome from me, Jonathan Swain. This is Through the Night here on BBC Radio 3. We're at the 2012 Bodensee Festival for this opening hour and a half. Bodensee is Lake Constance to us here in the UK. Anyway, it's a lake on the Rhine at the northern foot of the Alps, with three countries bordering its shores. This concert, which is part of Radio 3's ongoing Baroque Spring, is from a church in Weingarten, so the German part, and it's devoted mainly to J.S. Bach's magnificent motets. Five of them all together here, and all in German, which is how Bach wrote them, most of them intended for special events in Leipzig outside the regular services in St. Thomas's. In between each of the motets, by way of instrumental contrast, there'll be sinfonias from various Bach cantatas. Hans Christoph Radermann conducts the Rias Chamber Choir and the Berlin Early Music Academy. And the concert sets off with Bach's funeral motet, Der Geist hilft unserer Schwachheit auf, The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities.
Thank you.
J.S. Bach's motet Der Geist hilft unsere Schwachheit auf, the motet written in 1729 for the funeral of a rector at St. Thomas's School in Leipzig. Singing it there, the Rias Chamber Choir, conducted by Hans Christoph Radermann. Well, another of the motets from them in a moment or so, after we hear the players of the Berlin Early Music Academy in the Sinfonia from Bach's cantata Ich hatte viel Bekümmernis. The Berlin Early Music Academy, conducted by Hans Christoph Radermann, in the Sinfonia from Bach's cantata Ich hatte viel Bekümmernis, this concert from the Weingarten Basilica as part of the 2012 Bodensee Festival. Radermann and the Rias Chamber Choir now, in another of the Bach motets, Komm Jesu Komm, a piece that's shrouded in mystery. We haven't a clue who the motet was written for or even when. And the text here isn't biblical. It was written by a former teacher at St. Thomas's School in Leipzig.